Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally this evening, we've got Chantal Marks. She, of course, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the time. Some good news for Sibanye-Stillwater shareholders. A production update coming through early this morning. And I got to say, not a bad update. They're not booming. Things aren't going crazy, although gold operations certainly did much better. But certainly in the PGM space, the bleeding has perhaps stopped.
Yes, it does seem as if we've kind of reached a bottom. And I'm saying that very carefully because you never know with the commodity price cycle when we've reached a bottom. But things seem to be stabilizing on the PGM side. The gold side was very strong, but I was actually a little bit disappointed in profitability on the gold side, because when gold prices are as high as they are, you expect these marginal producers to do quite well. And I think their cost increases were just a little bit on the high side, but certainly encouraging from PGM perspective. One thing that we didn't get in this update, though, is an update on the balance sheet. And I think that's where my concerns with Sibanye lie currently.
Yeah, they've got tons of debt. I mean, so much so that they've been doing some gold selling forward. The problem that they've got, perhaps, is they're kind of fixing their business, but the PGM metals, platinum and palladium, they both ran, palladium particularly, with reports that the US wanted the G7 to sanction Russian palladium, but both have come back. We've got platinum back at $1,000, palladium back below $1,100. Again, off the lows, again, both above 1,000, but they're not doing a goldenness. They're not trading, you know, at all around highs.
Yeah, I think for us to really get a meaningful improvement in PGM pricing, we have to start seeing demand for automotives increase meaningfully. So we have seen, obviously, the displacement from EVs, but the full displacement from EVs are years ahead. You also have the adoption of hybrid, where platinum loadings are actually quite substantial. So that will support PGM demand as well. But we need consumers to want to buy cars. And for that to happen, you need inflation to stay low and you need interest rates to continue coming down. People need to feel good about their financial situation before they start buying cars. And this is not unique to South Africa. This is something that's happening globally. So until we see that starting to come through, I don't think we're going to see that sustained increase, even though there are these supply side factors like the Russian palladium story playing out in the background.
And truthfully, you know, things are better for consumers today than they were a year ago, both locally and globally. But it's going to be another year until we're really feeling bullish and positive. Right? 0.25% rate cuts from our good governor is nice, but man, it's tiny.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to think about the impact that it has on a mortgage payment. I mean, 0.25% cut is not going to make a big difference to your monthly budget. You might be able to go and eat out at Spur one more time per month, but you're not going to be able to push that new vehicle installment over the line. So we still need a little bit of room on our balance sheets as consumers and on our income statements as consumers, both locally and abroad, in order for us to feel better about buying something big like a car.
I take your point in that maybe Spur's the better one. Shifting to pure gold miners, Pan African Resources buying the remaining 92% of a gold mine in the middle of nowhere in Australia. And to be clear, I'm not being facetious when I say the middle of nowhere. It is 1,000 kilometers south of Darwin, and Darwin is the middle of nowhere. This is Pan African. It looks like a good deal. It looks like a nice low cost mine. They reckon with gold at 2,600, which is kind of where it is now, it will pay for itself quite quickly.
Yes, and it's going to make a big difference to their production outlook and the life of mine for the group generally. And it's going to diversify them a little bit. And they're purely South African focused at the moment. And I think it will be good for them to have some geographic spread. Of course, that brings its own set of risks. But so far, from what I've seen, is South African miners going into Australia actually fare quite decently. It's not the same. It's not the same experience as it has been for the retailers, because ultimately mining is mining, and I think that the regulatory environment in Australia isn't too difficult. The jurisdiction understands mining well as well, and they're going into areas where they have some expertise. So tailings retreatment is something that they are really good at. Mine development is something that they are really good at. I mean, Pan African, we've gotten used to getting these updates from them telling us that a project has been executed ahead of time and under budget. That's what we expect from them. So lots of projects on the cards with this acquisition, but I think something that they can execute well on.
Yeah, and I like your point. Mining is mining, and perhaps we're actually better miners than Australians because, man, we've gone proper deep in our mines. Staying with Pan African, they've suspended exploration operations in Sudan because of the war. This isn't a surprise. I chatted with the CEO earlier in the year, and he wasn't sure about what they were doing. It was explorations. This isn't a big deal for them, I suspect.
Yes, so they do allocate some capital to exploration, but it's definitely not the bulk of their capital expenditure budget. I think it just doesn't make sense for them to be there right now. They can always go back later on when things have settled down. But I think at this point, it's just a security risk. You also don't know what the scenario is going to be like in a few years' time. So I think sitting back on this one is probably the right decision.
Going offshore, Boeing workers have ended their six-week strike. This was costing the company $50 million per day in lost production. But is this the end of the company's troubles? I mean, they've got a new CEO. They've had planes crashing and doors falling off. There's certainly demand for wide-body aircraft. But Boeing looks like a sickly manufacturer as it compared to Airbus.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have some problems for the next 6 to 12 to 18 months still, because their order book doesn't look great. They are bleeding cash at the moment. They have to restart production, which I understand takes a lot longer than actually stopping production. So a lot of things have to happen for them to get to a point where they are consistently churning out aircraft again and getting those big cash payments as a result. So I think we're going to see cash flow negative for a while still. But the thing with companies like this, and especially kind of oligopolies like this, is things decline and they look really bad for a really long time, and then suddenly all at once things start getting better, those cash flows start improving, and they start printing cash again. So if they can kind of stay out of if they can stay on the right side of the safety story, I think that there's a good chance that this company can recover, but you could still see a bit of pain, I think, in the near term.
Yeah, and that point, it's easier to turn off than on. Last question, Treasury wants to set limits for DBSA directors, no more than 3 consecutive 5-year terms. It's a bit moot at the moment. It's a relatively new board. The longest board members are only 6 years. Your ideas on almost sort of compulsory board rotation?
Yeah, so I think from a corporate governance perspective, that just makes sense. I mean, we already see that in being adopted, or something similar being adopted in the private sector. Very few companies actually keep on these lifelong directors, although we do still see that. I think for DBSA, just a move towards best corporate governance standards will be quite positive, because they have an important role to play in financing development in South Africa. I know currently they're mostly exposed to energy and municipalities, but I think that there's so much more that this institution can actually do in order to spur growth in this country.
I agree. I think the DBSA has huge potential. They do a lot. Let's be clear about that, but I think they have huge potential. We'll leave it there. Sean Tomox, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Always appreciate the insights.
Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.